Chapter 6, The Healing of Belief, How to Rewrite Your Reality Code. In 1986, I attended a concert in Boulder, Colorado, that headlined a man who changed my life. His name was Michael Hedges, and he was arguably one of the most gifted guitarists of the 20th century. In the summer of that year, he was on a rare solo tour that included the intimate venue where I met him. Rather than the usual concert seating in a huge stadium where the artist looks like a speck on a distant stage, Michael chose to play in a casual restaurant setting. Pedestal tables were arranged around the stage, and no one was more than just a few feet away from the performance. Everyone in the room could see everything, and see it really well. As the show began, Michael simply walked onto the stage, and with little more than a "Hello, I'm Michael Hedges," something extraordinary happened in front of me. Suddenly, his hands were doing things that I'd never seen a guitarist do in my life. As he began his performance, his fingers stretched and bent in uncanny ways to form chords and create sounds that gave the room a feeling that I can only describe as surreal. And not everything that happened was on the strings. Never even missing a beat, the back and the sides of his guitar became the percussion section for the taps and the bumps that he was playing between the notes. What was even more amazing was that his eyes were closed throughout the whole concert. I was so moved by what I'd seen that I strolled right past his crew and walked up to him during the intermission to thank him for such a powerful evening. Surprisingly, he greeted me as if he'd known me for years. He welcomed me onto the stage, and together we walked over to his instruments. He began asking me how certain effects sounded throughout the room, and we chatted until the program resumed. I returned to my seat, and I was absolutely enthralled by the rest of the evening. Well, I never had the chance to speak with Michael again. While I felt that we probably would at some point in time, his sudden death in December of 1997 prevented that from ever happening. Although my evening with Michael Hedges was brief, for me it was a life-changing experience. And here's the reason why. I've been a guitarist since I was 11, and playing the guitar remains one of the most consistent passions of my life today. The first 6 months that I learned to play, I was indoctrinated into the form and style of classical guitar. Well, the name says everything. There's a special posture that the body of a classical guitarist is taught to assume. The hands are positioned to hover over the strings, but rarely touch the face of the instrument itself. And while it's beautiful to watch in others, it always felt awkward and stiff to me. The reason that I share this story is simply this. Watching Michael Hedges that evening in 1986 forever changed the way I thought about playing a guitar. In the 90 minutes or so that he was on stage, he absolutely blew away all of the rules and any preconceived ideas of form and style that had been ingrained into me years earlier. It was so freeing for me to see him and his passion that it freed me and mine as well. All that Michael Hedges had done was to share his gift, but in doing so, he became the living demonstration of a greater possibility. And that's the key to changing what we believe to be true about our lives and our world. To change the limitations of our personal pasts, our minds need a reason to change what we believe, and a good reason at that. Well, history is filled with examples of beliefs that were entrenched for hundreds or sometimes even thousands of years and then changed seemingly overnight. History also describes what happens when the long-held ideas that support such beliefs are replaced by something so radical that an entire worldview suddenly topples and falls. Sometimes the changes are small and seemingly insignificant, like watching a guitarist for 90 minutes on the stage. Sometimes they're so huge that they forever transform the way we think of ourselves and the universe. In the year 1513 AD, for example, one astronomical discovery made us aware of a single fact that forever changed our view of the universe and ultimately ourselves. It was in that year that Nicholas Copernicus, a lawyer studying astronomy in his spare time, published his calculations that proved that the sun is the center of our solar system and not the earth. While the idea had been proposed over 1,000 years earlier by the Greek astronomer Aristarchus of Samos, it was considered so outrageous that the philosophers and the astronomers of his time created artificial reasons to discredit what he'd found. Well, this is an example of a belief that did change our lives, and did so in a way that continues to this very day. When Copernicus's book was finally published after his death in 1543 AD, everyone from the leaders of the Roman Catholic Church down to the average person on the street had to adjust their way of thinking to make room for a sun-centered solar system. Like Michael Hedges, all Copernicus did was to share his knowledge. The key in both of these instances is that the belief regarding an established way of seeing things was changed seemingly overnight, and it was done through the unarguable demonstration of another possibility. Rewriting our reality code. At the turn of the century, a great philosopher stated that the world we see that seems so insane is the result of a belief system that is not working. While this sounds like something we'd expect to hear from a self-help teaching at the dawn of our new millennium, it was actually uttered by William James, and he did so not in the 20th century, but at the end of the 19th century. In just a few words that are as meaningful for the changes we see today as they were for the changes during his time, James implied the theme and the intent of this book. If the world that seems so insane is based upon our perceptions, then why is it so hard for us to change the things that don't work? How do we rewrite our beliefs to reflect our deepest love, our truest desires, and our great healings? To rewrite our reality code, we must give ourselves a reason to change what we've believed in the past. The message of this sentence is both plainly obvious and deceptively simple. It's obvious because of the undeniable relationships between belief and reality described throughout this book. You may be saying to yourself, of course, all it takes to change our world is a change in what we believe. But in the simplicity of what is so obvious comes the catch. Changing our beliefs may be the most difficult thing that we do in life. It's more than just a matter of making up our minds to change or having the will to change. Much more. The reason is because of what we think our beliefs say about us. Jeff Heath, former principal lecturer in counseling and human relations at the University of Derby in England, describes the crux of our dilemma, saying that we are what we come to believe ourselves to be. To change our beliefs, he says, is to change our identities. He continues saying that that's why it's so difficult to change our beliefs. Well, what Heath is saying here goes a long way to answer the question of why it's so hard for us to change. For the most part, we've grown comfortable with ourselves and the way we see ourselves in the world. The proof is that if we weren't, we'd be constantly searching for new reasons to change our lives. To upset our comfort zone is to upset the very foundation that allows us to feel safe in the world. So to make a change in something as powerful as the core beliefs that define our lives, we need a trigger that is equally as powerful. We need a reason to jolt us from the complacency of one way of thinking into a new and sometimes revolutionary way of seeing things. In short, we need a different perspective. The catalyst for a new perspective may be something as simple as connecting the dots of newly discovered facts that lead to a new understanding that simply makes sense. Or it may take something that blows the doors right off of everything that we believed in the past to catapult us into a greater possibility, something like a real-life miracle. Well, both logic and miracles give us good reasons to see the world differently. While miracles have been used by the great masters of our past, the discoveries of today's science are opening the door to entirely new ways of seeing the world without miracles. And that's why considering the universe as a computer and belief as a program is so powerful. Because we already know how both work, then when we look for a way to change, it gives us a familiar place to begin. Regardless of how expertly a computer program is put together, or how professional the programmers are, there's always the possibility that the program will malfunction at some point. And when it does, the malfunction is called a bug, a hiccup, or sometimes just a glitch. Regardless of whether or not our world is really the output of a sophisticated computer, or if we just use this idea as a metaphor for the way things work, we've still got to ask the same question. Could the program creating everything ever have a problem? In other words, could the consciousness computer of the universe ever have a glitch? And if so, would we even know it if we saw it? In his 1992 paper titled Living in a Simulated Universe, astrophysicist and 2006 Templeton laureate John Barrow explored this very question. He said, if we live in a simulated reality, then we might expect to see occasional glitches in the supposed constants and laws of nature. While this kind of problem is certainly possible, it could be that we're already experiencing a glitch, perhaps one that even the architect of our reality never expected. Here's what I mean by this. Having a glitch doesn't always mean that a program was written incorrectly. In fact, a computer program may run perfectly for the conditions for which it was originally designed. Sometimes, however, a program made for one condition finds itself in a very different set of circumstances. Although it still does what it was always intended to do and does it really well, in a different environment, it may not produce the expected results. So it looks like the program has an error. Well, in the programs of consciousness, then, is it possible that the suffering that we experience in our lives is a glitch? Could the hate, fear, and war that we've experienced for so long be the result of a glitch in our beliefs? Well, while the quantum stuff of the universe is definitely designed to reflect what we believe, is it possible that we were never meant to focus our beliefs on the very things that cause so much hurt in our lives? How have we come to feel so alone in a world that we share with over 6 billion of our own kind, for example? And where did we learn to feel so much fear? And why do we allow our fears to become so real that they ultimately make us sick? Are these experiences simply glitches in our beliefs? And if so, can we fix them the way we would fix a program glitch?